Better policing has been on people's minds around the nation all year, but especially here in Albany. A series of discussions with local communities started last week. At first, the idea was to limit public access to the online events as a means of bringing forth people who might not want to hear their opinions broadcast. A discussion about this came up at last week's Albany Common Council meeting.
I think people have seen there's 7 public meetings that are coming up, and it would be great if everyone can share that out to try to get as much input as possible. There's a deep desire to learn and discuss things with community members. And they will need to, it's not going to be broadcast on Facebook. You will need to actually get a Zoom code and sign into it so that people that are kind of offering, community members are able to offer input in not a very public forum. It might be more comfortable for them.
Do you have to sign in for each individual one because they do have different topics, or is there like one universal sign in?
I think you have to sign in for one for each individual one. I could be wrong with that. We can double check that, but it was my understanding that we'd have to sign in with each individual one. But I can ask.
Yeah, and there was emphasis on a focus of City of Albany residents, because we quite often have folks that aren't from the city weighing in, and sometimes they're the loudest voices, and that's not necessarily a good thing. There was a recognition that obviously with COVID, and we're supposed to be some in-person engagement with community, and obviously we can't do that stuff. So really social media, members with huge social media presence, sorry, just anyone with a social media presence, the mayor's staff is looking for us to help get input from community members and connect to, you know, the folks that we represent and make sure their voices get heard in this effort. So Richard.
Yeah, so our public safety committee is meeting on Monday to continue our discussion. Since we haven't had any real discussions on it since our last, where we've got a lot of public input and et cetera, what is the intent with this meeting coming up on Monday?
It's to try and there's that second letter with some like just incorporating that and talking through that. There was some, you know, in the previous meeting back, you know, the police department stated what they, you know, making the tweaks and kind of changing as best we can the input, adding the input that we got from the last meeting to try to get closer. I mean, in the end, I'm sure probably some of the police department may not be happy with some of the final, you know, things that end up in there, but I'm sure there are going to be some community members that don't think it goes far enough, but either way, we're trying to.
So to look at specific modifications to the proposals that we've introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing crazy flying in out of left field or any major changes, but input, I mean, we have members that haven't given input. If you have some thoughts on the issue, please, by all means. We've heard from public safety member meetings, committee meetings and whatnot, but there are other members on the council that may have ideas or thoughts about how things should be also, but reach out to me or come to the meeting to suggest any changes you think might be good to go.
At the end of the first forum, captured here, it was realized that the earlier sign-in restrictions were hurting not only attendance, but the quality of comments coming forth. Changes were made, and now the meetings are open to all.
One of the things that we're doing is we're talking about all of the different types of activities that the police officers are asked to respond to, and sort of on a continuum of, you know, what are the kinds of things that are only appropriate for police to respond to, you know, say maybe a shooting or an armed robbery, something like that. And then talking about specific issues where other professionals might be more appropriate. For example, substance abuse issues, a drug overdose, officers in school who might be, it might be better to have a counselor to be at the school instead of a school resource officer. That there might be situations where it would be appropriate to have a police officer at an initial response, for instance, if there's a domestic violence issue where it's unclear whether or not someone has a weapon, someone is in immediate danger, but that the follow-up might be done by someone who is a counselor or can more appropriately respond. The same with someone who has experienced, community members who are experiencing homelessness, community members who have mental health crises. So, and we're also trying to make some recommendations and comments with respect to individuals in the community for whom English is not a first language, to ensure that they are treated appropriately when they have an interaction with either the police or other community activists. So many of, almost all of the people in my group are on here. So I think at this time, what I'm going to do is just ask each of them to talk about the areas that they are specifically, they're specifically addressing. So Dr. Giordano, do you want to talk about the mental health issues?
Hello everyone again. My name's Steve Giordano. I mentioned earlier, I'm a psychologist by training, and I am the mental health commissioner in Albany County, and was asked to join this group to talk about a topic that actually is one that has been an interest of mine and a passion of mine for quite some time. And that has to do with how we train police officers and how we respond to mental health crises in the community. And what I've brought to the group and what I've begun to share in some of the recommendations that I'm submitting to our group is to try to funnel some of what we've learned around the country about this issue. Albany is unique, certainly, as Aidan mentioned, and whatever comes up out of our groups has to address the uniqueness of the community. But I think we also can't lose sight of the fact that there are shared challenges in cities all over the country, and we should try to learn from what other communities have at least experimented with. So what I've put forth so far is some alternative models of responding to mental health crises in urban and even in rural areas, but mostly in urban areas. And I could just tell you there are four models that I think are worth considering locally. They involve, I can just summarize them, I guess. One is to do a focused, targeted training for 911 dispatchers so that at the time of receiving a call, they can distinguish between what kind of situations a police officer might be needed for and what kind of situations a mental health professional or a peer advocate might be better able to respond to. That's happening in some areas in New York State with some success. I think we could learn from that. It's not mutually exclusive, though, to the other models that I'm going to talk about. And one that's very popular, and some of you have heard, New York City is talking about implementing this. Even in Albany County, we're exploring this in some of the rural areas. And that's the CAHOOTS model in Oregon, where they've been doing this for 30 years and very successfully. The police don't respond to mental health emergencies. A paramedic and a counselor in some form are the responders. They respond in unmarked vans, they respond in plain clothes. And there are some situations that don't go well and police will assist, but the initial response is to deal with it in a much more person-friendly manner.
Make your voice heard. Sign up to speak. Go to www.albanyny.gov for more info.
This has been Paul Smart and Rachel Wilson reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.